Welcome to Walking in His Word, everybody. Coming at you from Cornerstone Church in Highland, Michigan. We're back. We're here. We're alive. We're happy. We're blessed.
Come on.
Are we healthy?
We're healthy.
I'm a little bit healthy. I'm getting better. I got a cold that's holding on like grim death.
Well, luckily, I've stayed healthy. And praise the Lord.
Yeah, we hope that everybody's doing okay out there. Got a great message for you this week called Kingdom Marriage.
Yeah, Kingdom Marriage. And today, we are going to talk about unity. Mm. And I love that the Bible says that where there is unity, God is going to command a blessing. And I love that in John, I think it's in John 17, Jesus prays this great prayer. Yep. People call it the high priestly prayer of Jesus. And in that prayer, like one of the main themes of that prayer is unity for his people. And it's awesome. And I was thinking about this idea of unity in our marriage. And it actually kind of took me back to a number of years ago when me and my wife, before we got married, we were actually doing pre-marriage counseling with you and your wife, Pastor Luke. And you guys had talked to us about this idea of celebrating the other's differences and being invested in what your spouse is doing. Mm-hmm. And you say, that doesn't mean that all of a sudden their favorite hobby becomes your favorite hobby. Mm-hmm. But it maybe means you go and you're interested in it, and yes, you do it sometimes, and you support them doing it. You know, my wife loves like musicals and shows, and before we were together, I'd never went and seen one before in my life. But I went, and I would go to these things and support her in it. And I just want to encourage you guys out there to be in unity together.
That's awesome. Let's get to the message.
Unity does not mean you change who you are to somehow make the other person's life the greatest life ever. That don't last. It don't work. But what do? You say, I'm different. You're different. God has put us together. How are these differences going to make an impact on the kingdom of God? Oh, you know, my wife can sing. I can't sing. But when she's up here singing, it's wonderful. And I like that about her. I treasure that about her. I encourage all the differences in her. Her differences make a powerful impact on the kingdom of God. If I were just to say, Jennifer, Jen, stop the singing. You need to learn how to preach. You stop the singing. You need to learn, you know, how to edit videos, which is what I do a lot of. Stop singing. You gotta learn how to join the creative team. Join me. Do what I do. Be me. That won't work. But what you do is you say, you got these talents, I got these talents. Let's work, let's do these together, and you will find that your weaknesses could be their strengths, their weaknesses could possibly be your strengths. And God wants to use your differences to bring unity. But Satan is working so hard to highlight your differences to bring division within your marriage. Matthew 12, 25. Jesus knew their thoughts and replied, "Any kingdom divided by civil war is doomed. A town or family splintered by feuding will fall apart." Satan desires to divide you, to disunify you as a couple. Our differences are a good thing. Your differences are good. Genesis 2:24. This explains why a man leaves his father and mother and is joined to his wife, and the two are united into one. God desires unity. One husband put it this way. "I know the secret to a happy marriage," he said. "You and your wife go out twice a week. I go on Tuesdays, she goes on Fridays." One of the best ways to get unity in your marriage is to make sure God is number one. It doesn't matter how much you love your spouse, You don't listen to your spouse over God. That's what Eve did. That's what Eve did. That's what Adam did. Is that God had told them, do not eat from these trees. Eve was deceived. She ate the fruit. She brings it to her husband, Adam. Says, go on, eat it. He listened to her over God. You see, we must, as a married couple, put God first. You don't put your spouse over God. The blessing doesn't come. The unity doesn't come when you do that. You put God first. See, Adam should have said, no, Eve. No, God said this. You're not right. You're wrong. That's not what God told us to do. If Satan has caused some sort of disruption in your marriage, like he did with Adam and Eve, the very first marriage, there's one thing you have to do. You have to get rid of Satan. A 1 week cruise will not solve your problems. A date night will not solve your problems. You need to get rid of Satan, the one who's come in and deceived something within your marriage. You know, disunity in marriage causes your prayers not to work. It's true. 1 Peter 3:7 says this, in the same way you husbands must give honor to your wives, treat your wife with understanding as you live together. She may be weaker than you are, but she is your equal partner in God's gift of new life. Treat her as you should, so your prayers will not be hindered. Billy Graham, the famous preacher, he had a grandson who was a prodigal, a wayward, a troublemaker, a real stain on the family name. And the husband and wife of this child did not know what to do with this son. He was a young adult. He was a terrible person. They didn't know what to do, and they finally decided they're going to stop, and they're going to pray, and they're going to ask God, God, what do we do with this child of ours? And wouldn't you know it, God told them to do something that they didn't want to do as a couple. God told them, you need to kick this boy out of your house. Get him out from underneath the blessing that he's currently living under. He needs to feel what life is like without this covenantal blessing that you've come under as a couple. Oh, they didn't want to do it. They struggled with this decision, but finally they realized we need to listen to God more than our own emotions and our own feelings and what we might want out of this whole thing. And they kicked their boy out of the house. He had nowhere to go, no place to stay. He had nothing to do. He was such a had nothing going on with his life. He didn't have a job. He didn't have prospects. He was deep in sin. He had addictions. And they knew kicking him out of the house, he was probably going to end up living on the streets. And that's exactly what happened to him. He was living on the streets. He'd stay in the house of a friend for a bit. But, you know, this kid is so bad that even their friends say, you get out. You're too much trouble. And they kick him out too. And he'd end up on the streets. And guess what happened to this kid? He realized something. I had it better in my parents' house. And he came back home one day. And he repented of his life. And repented of all of his mistakes and said he was sorry. And they welcomed him back in, and that fixed their boy. You see, a married couple that prays together sees miracles. I think Jesus' final prayer, his absolute final prayer, is so interesting for all of us today. Do you know Jesus had one final prayer in the book of John with his disciples before he started his journey to the cross? He had one final prayer. I want to read you this one final prayer. John 17, 23 through 24. I have given them the glory you gave me, so they may be one as we are one. I am in them, you are in me, May they experience such perfect unity that the world will know that you sent me and that you love them as much as you love me. Father, I want these whom you have given me to be with me where I am. Then they can see all the glory you gave me because you loved me even before the world began.
Unity inside of your marriage does not mean that there are zero disagreements, that there's zero fights, that your whole marriage is rainbows, sunshine, and roses. Because that's a fairy tale. That doesn't exist in real life. You're two different people. There's disagreements, right? There's things that happen that you have different views on. But unity, I think, starts when you put, first of all, when you put God first, you prioritize Jesus. We've been talking about that all week.
Yeah.
But then, again, this is something that I think that Pastor, you and your wife, Jen, did a good job of teaching Dane and I in premarriage counseling, was the idea of learning to fight for your marriage. So when we would have disagreements, when we have things that are trying to cause disunity in our marriage, we would try to take a step back and be like, okay, I don't want to just fight you right now. I want to do my best to figure out what is the difference. What is the best thing that's going to advance our marriage right now? Not how can I win this argument? And yes, we still have disagreements, and yes, we still have fights, but we're learning, and we're not perfect at this. By no means am I a marriage expert superstar. Like, I've only been married 2.5 years, but trying to learn to fight for the marriage, not just fight against my spouse, to have unity on, under God.
I think about this too, Pastor Aaron. There's not a single perfect marriage that's ever existed.
Right.
Ever.
Yeah.
The only way it would have been possible is if Jesus, well, he married us, but we're a mess.
Right. Maybe if Adam and Eve didn't eat the fruit.
Yeah. I mean, like, that's funny you say that, Pastor Aaron. Because Adam and Eve are in paradise.
Yeah.
And they still get it wrong.
They still get it wrong.
So there's no hope for any of us. So what is so if there's no hope for perfection in any marriage and any couple and any relationship out there, what do you do? How can you ever be successful?
Right.
You got to just put Jesus first.
Yeah.
You got to love your wife. Wives, you got to respect your husbands. You got to fight for your marriage.
Come on.
You got to learn to humble yourself many times over. You got to learn to love each other. And we all kind of want to be loved differently. So figure out how your spouse wants to be loved. Do that for them. Encourage them to love you the way that you want to be loved. Put Jesus first. Prioritize God, prioritize the kingdom. I believe if you do that, the Lord will breathe upon your marriage, wants to bless your marriage, wants to bless you individually, which then in turn ends up being a blessing to your spouse.
Come on.
And it's a great cycle, I would say, that God is inviting us into, which is this wonderful cycle of putting Jesus first, and then he breathes upon you. Then you put Jesus first, and he breathes upon you.
Come on.
And that's the encouragement we have for everybody today.
Absolutely.
We'll be right back here tomorrow on the radio and on the podcast, however you're listening to this. It's going to be Friday.
It's going to be Friday. Let's go.
Walking in his word. Thank you for listening to our show today. You can find more information at our website, cornerstonehighland.com. Subscribe to us on YouTube. Follow us on Instagram, Facebook. We'd love to see you at church one day. Please do not be a stranger.